I was raised up in a Christian home, but I was stubborn, hard-headed, naughty, and very disobedient child. In high school, I got into drinking, womanizing, gambling, and other things that does not please the Lord. Despite my sinful ways, the Lord was gracious to me. One time, I had facial paralysis after a taekwondo sparring. The only doctor who could administer the surgery said that the chance of success is one in a million. I pleaded before the Lord and asked Him to forgive me. I promised to obey Him and surrender my life to Him. Miraculously, the operation was a success. Since then, the Lord blessed me with many things like being able to graduate and have a good career. In 1997, I met my girlfriend, Oni. I fell in love with her, pursued her, and asked her to live in with me. She resigned from her job, and we put up trading business, which did very well. We had money. We partied here and there, drinking and smoking from sunset to sunrise. We had sex outside marriage. I had completely forgotten and broken my promise, my commitment to the Lord. My sister invited us to attend CCF in 2003. Although we consistently attended, we continued living an immoral life filled with lust and worldliness. One Sunday, we saw an announcement for a men and women's encounter, which we decided to attend. During that retreat, God's word convicted our hearts and repented of our sins and accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. After the retreat, we joined discipleship that was very intentional in mentoring us and helping us mature in our faith and walk in Christ's likeness. They listened in our struggles and prayed for us. We were like a family. Around this time, our business started to suffer. Our seven stores closed one by one. I was terminated from my job. It was the lowest point of my life, and I wanted to walk away from God. My disciples encouraged me to pray and read God's word, and the Lord spoke to me through Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. It was clear what God wanted. My girlfriend and I were living in together in disobedience in His design for marriage, and God wanted us to make things right. The Lord used my disciples, Brother Leo and Sheila, to help me propose to Oni. Through his premarital seminar, we learned God's design for marriage and raising a family. We wanted to get married, but did not have money for a wedding. But God miraculously provided what we needed through our church family. Our disciples, mentors, and small group. More than that, God even gave me a job to provide for our needs and eventually pay our debts. Since then, we prayed for God to use us so that we could also be a blessing to other couples. Just as our disciples and small group were a blessing to us. Following the example of our disciples, we reached out to help more couples to follow His design for their lives. After a premarital counseling program, many couples expressed their desire to be married at the same time. So in 2009, we had the first large group wedding ministry, which now called CCF Mass Wedding. The mission is not just the wedding, but also to bring Jesus into the center of all the couples that participate. By God's grace, the support and sponsorships for the mass wedding come from those who had actually participated in the past. Looking back, all this started when a small group leader mentored us to make sure that we walk in Christ's likeness, to follow God's mission in our lives, and be a blessing to others. CCF Mass Wedding has helped create many Christ-centered married couples D groups, which the leaders are those who participated in the mass wedding. Not only that, CCF mass wedding is rapidly expanding the kingdom of God in the satellite churches. I am Ranelo Pleda, once a broken vessel, but now made whole and useful through the saving power of Christ. All glory and honor belong to one true King, Jesus Christ.
Praise God. We've been discussing the importance of truth. So last Sunday, we discussed the first sermon ever preached. And what was that sermon ever preached? Acts chapter 2. It was preached by the Apostle Peter. And why is that message so important? So that you will know what is the most important thing people need to hear in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven. What must they need to hear? Let's read this together. Peter said, everybody, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. In other words, the resurrection of Christ is the foundation of why you believe what you believe. If you don't believe in the resurrection, forget Christianity. Christianity rises or falls depending on did Jesus rise again from the dead. Is it true? Is the Bible true? Resurrection proves it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God made him both Lord and Christ. So Jesus is not just a man. He is Lord. He is Christ, the Messiah. This Jesus whom you crucified. In other words, God did not want the people to know. They play no part in the crucifixion of Jesus. In a sense, you and I have crucified Jesus also. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross because of your sins and my sins. Once you understand the love of Jesus, the love of God, it will do something to you. What will it do? It will ask you a simple question. If God loves you so much that he died for you, what are you going to do with your life? So the Bible tells us that people, when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart and said to Peter, brethren, what shall we do? Last Sunday, I praise God, there were hundreds of you, literally hundreds. First service, second service, hundreds who came forward to pray. In fact, I heard the prayer meeting did not end even up to 3 o'clock already. You know why? They have to start singing. Because many of you were touched by the Lord. You see, when God does something, he speaks to you. And you know what you guys did? This is what you did. Everybody read. How do you become a Christian? Ready? Read. How do you become a Christian? Repent. Each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We discussed this. You need to repent. You cannot have salvation without repentance. How can you come to Jesus without repenting? Repentance means a change of mind. You were once upon a time your own boss, and now you realize I'm no longer a boss. Jesus is my boss. I now follow him. And that's why the Bible says you got to repent. And many of you repented. You know, the stories I heard make me cry. I heard of couples confessing their adultery, singles, premarital sex, all kinds of things that are painful to the heart of God. But you guys repented. Problem is this. After you repent, what do you do? How do you sustain your Christian life? That's the message today. What did the first church do to sustain the people? Guess what happened? Everybody. So then, those who received his word were baptized. Baptism is the proof that you have come to Jesus. Baptism is the proof of repentance, that you die to your old life and you come out a new person. So baptism does not save you, but it is the evidence. And that's why in the New Testament, it is always believed, baptized. It is never baptized, and then someday when you grow up, you believe. You never see that in the Bible. Baptism follows after repentance, after you come to know Jesus. And then the Bible tells us that day, they were added. Notice, added. How many? 3,000. I want you to imagine. I think the ground floor, sits around maybe 3,000-4,000. I want you to imagine, in one day, in the first sermon, all of these people, different background, mostly Jewish background, with their own religion, you now come to Jesus. You now repent. Now, what are we going to do? How do you follow them up? Have you thought about it? So would you like to know what the first church did? Because on that day, the church was born. It is very important you understand. So you will know how to choose a good church. How do you choose a spirit-filled church? Why is church important? Now, praise God, many of you have chosen CCF. But if people ask you, why are you choosing CCF? You better know the answer. Would you like to know why? Better find out the characteristics of a spirit-filled church. What do they do? What are we supposed to do? To understand the importance of following people up, you need to understand the command of Jesus to the early apostles. This is his command. Everybody, if you don't mind, read together. Ready? Go. Go, therefore, and... All right. What is the main verb of Matthew chapter 28? The main command. Make disciples. How do you make disciples? Baptize them. How do you make disciples? Teach them. What do you teach them? Teach them to observe. Observe what? All that I commanded you. And then he gives you a promise. I'm with you always. The hardest part, if you ask me, the hardest challenge of discipling people is to teach them to, everybody read, to observe all. You see, many Christians think they are Christians. Why do I put a question mark? Because a real follower of Jesus will want to obey all. If you don't want to obey all, you just pick and choose what to obey, then you are the Lord of your life. It's called religion. Religion is the art of manipulating whoever is your God to do what you want your God to do for you. That's religion. Christianity is different. You do not manipulate God. You cannot manipulate Him. You surrender to Him. You obey all of His commandments. And that, my friend, was my struggle. But I decided one day, Jesus will be my master and my Lord. Have you made Jesus your Lord? If you have, my job is to teach you, to disciple you. How to, everybody, one more time, how to, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So what did Jesus command us? Number one, after you come to Him, He wants you to do certain things. Number one, be baptized. If you are not yet baptized, you sign up. Watch out for announcement. We will give you information. Next, you need to grow spiritually. I'm going to share with you what they did. In the meantime, what is the mission of CCF? What is our mission? Why are we together? Do you know the purpose of CCF? We exist for one primary reason. Everybody read. To honor God and make Christ committed followers. Who will make Christ committed followers? That's it. We want to honor God in your business, at home, in your school, wherever you are. You honor God with your life, with your decisions. Every time I'm supposed to make a decision, I ask myself, will my action honor God or dishonor Him? I'm not perfect, But that's my direction in life. I honor Him. And how do I honor God? Make Christ committed followers. And that's all we do here. All the pastors, all the leaders, we spend our time helping a few people to commit to follow Jesus. Are we communicating? Make disciples. Who is a disciple? A committed follower. That's all you must learn, you must understand. When I say that's all, I don't mean forget the others, but that's the primary purpose. So let me ask you a question. Who are you discipling this year? Who is discipling you? You need both. I am part of a group. I'm accountable to a group. And there are people under me who are accountable to me. That's the system. So what did they do? Would you like to know how they discipled 3,000 people? Yes or no? You know, many people complain. They complain. I don't like big churches. It is so impersonal. I want to be part of a small church. Excuse me. The first preaching of Peter, how many came to Jesus? 3,000. That's a mega church. So what did they do? This is what they did, my friend. They were, number one, continually devoting. In other words, look at me now, you need to train the people to now transfer their focus and their attention. Before it's all money, before it's all about popularity, before it's all about me. Once I come to Jesus, something happens. The Holy Spirit will now change my desire and my priorities. So for these young people, young believers, they needed to do the following. Number one, continually devoting themselves to apostles' teaching. It's called Bible study. To fellowship. It's called small group. Breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. Worship and prayer. These are certain spiritual disciplines. In the book of Acts chapter 2, from verse 42 down, I'm going to give you seven practices. Seven practices. What are they? As you read the rest of the verses, these are the seven habits that you must learn. You must practice. Number one, study the scriptures. Number two, fellowship in small group. Number three, worship. Number four, prayer. Number five, generosity. Number six, joy. And lastly, witnessing. You find the early church, a good church, a spirit-filled church, is composed of spirit-filled people. And what do? That's what they do. In my case, every day, I try to study the Bible. I meet in small groups. I worship God privately at home. I worship God together. I pray daily. Generosity. I was not generous. I'm still learning to be generous. Joyfulness. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, smile, please, be joyful. That's what you need to learn. And witnessing. Why are we making the title Habits of a Spirit-Filled Church? In fact, my title is Practice the Habits. Let me tell you why. How many of you have made New Year's resolution? Raise your hand. And most of you, probably, it's about losing weight. Am I correct? It's about being healthy. Yes or no? Now, listen to me. Just because you make a goal does not mean you'll be successful. Because most people have goals, but they don't know how to accomplish the goal. So if you want to lose weight, there are certain habits you must develop. No sugar, no soft drink, no cakes. Exercise, sleeping. These are principles of being healthy. The problem is this. You think by giving yourself excuses because you are discouraged, okay? Some of you, after doing all of this for 2 weeks, you go to the weighing scale. You mean I only lost 2 pounds? Ay, loco, ayoko na. Excuse me, you have been gaining weight for 10 years and suddenly you want to lose all of those in 2 weeks? It doesn't happen like that. You need to understand, never underestimate the power of doing something consistently. I call it habits. You must develop good habits, because by practicing good habits consistently over a period of time, you will see amazing results. On the contrary, if you begin to compromise, you will think it's okay. Nothing happens, you know. If I stop reading the Bible, oh, it's okay. If I stop attending worship service, oh, it seems to be okay. But over a period of time, all of those compromises will become disaster. On the contrary, if you begin to practice prayer, reading the scripture consistently, after 10 years, you look back in your life, wow, I am no longer the same person. But are you practicing good habits? I want to focus on the importance of consistency. Let's start with the first one. What is the first one? Practice the habits of a Spirit-filled church, okay? What are the habits of a Spirit-filled church? Well, first of all, let me explain to you what is a church. Ecclesia. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Repeat. Ekklesia. So when you see the word exit, that's from the word ekklesia. Exit. It's called out. So, I'm going to give you an example. I want to ask all of those who were born after 1980, all the millennials, all the Gen Z, stand up. You were born after 1980. Now, everybody, look around you. Are we a young church, yes or no? Young church, hallelujah, praise God. Now, listen to me, young church. I will now recruit you, 1980 and up. You must go outside, but just example only, don't go outside now. I will ask you to go out there and join the army, because there's a war ongoing now. You need to join the army. What I've just done is this. When I asked you to stand up, you stood up. You responded to the call. So you are now called ecclesia. You are a particular called people. The Bible tells us, one day you heard about Jesus and you repented. And when you repented of your sins and you came to Jesus, the Bible says that day you become part of the ecclesia. You are part of the called out people. So a church is not a building. A church is about people, called out people. So on Sunday, the church gathers in CCF Center. Comprende? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, the church gathers in houses. But on Sunday, most of us gather together in particular CCF centers, because a church is about people, called out people. So can I encourage you? You are the church. Tell your neighbor, you are the church. Excuse me. Sit down. Tell your neighbor now. Everybody, those of you, even the old people, you are part of the church, okay? You are the church. Why is this important? A Spirit-filled church is made up of Spirit-filled believers. Let me repeat. If you want the church to be healthy, if you want CCF to be healthy, then CCF has to be composed of healthy believers. Healthy disciples. And who are the healthy disciples? You must practice at least the following. Number one, study the Bible. Number two, koinonia, be part of a small group. Number three, you must be Worship. After worship, what's next? Prayer. After prayer, generosity. After generosity, joyfulness, and be a witness. So let's start with discipline number one. They were continually devoting. They were practicing certain spirit-filled habits. Listen to me. It's one thing to repent. How do you sustain your spiritual life? I want to teach you. No secrets, no shortcuts. If you want to stay spiritually healthy and you want to grow, you follow these guidelines. Number one, what did they do? Continually devoting themselves to the, what is the apostles' teaching? The apostles' teaching is teaching the scriptures, Old Testament, plus the teachings of Jesus, how we should behave. That's called the apostles' teaching. They used the Old Testament, and they wrote down the teachings of Jesus. That's why you have the New Testament. If you want to grow, no excuse, no shortcuts. You got to know the scriptures. Now, listen to me. Today, young people would like to make decisions on their own. What is right and what is wrong? For many young people today, including adults, the idea is this: if it feels good, I'm going to do it. My friend, that's not the way. You got to study the Bible. The Bible will determine for us what is right, what is wrong. That's why you need to study the Bible to be healthy. Many of you know this gentleman. Do you know his name? Okay, Manny Pacquiao. On the National Bible Day, which was a few weeks ago, he invited me to speak. And he gave his testimony. This was his testimony. He said, once upon a time, I was a womanizer. I was a gambler. And his wife was beside us. And he said, one day, the Lord touched my life. When the Lord touched my life, I began to have this desire. Manny Pacquiao had read the Bible. He memorized scriptures. And he said, the Word of God will transform our lives. And I attest to that truth. Because it was through the Bible that he learned about Jesus. And he learned about how to be an honest politician, how to be an honest fighter. Praise God for people like him. Amen? But what made him grow? Scripture. So the Bible tells us, you must develop a desire to study the Bible. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Notice, if some of you have no desire, you have no hunger for the Word of God, is it possible? Listen to me now. Is it possible for a newborn baby to have no hunger for milk? Is it possible? Only two possibilities. One, the baby is dead. There's no life. Perhaps some of you have no desire, no hunger for God's Word. You have no appetite for God. Why? You don't have the Holy Spirit. You see, Christianity is God coming into your heart, into your life, Jesus. And he will give you a hunger. Manny Pacquiao was laughing when my friend invited him to Bible study before. He was joking then. He was making fun of them. But when he came to Jesus, he asked, who can teach me Bible? And then my friend told him, I know somebody. I want it every day. My goodness, this guy wants Bible study every day. Why? Something happened. There's an appetite. Another possible reason, if a baby does not hunger, it's because the baby is sick. If the baby has fever, usually they don't have appetite. Now, I don't know about you. Whether you have the life of Christ in you or you have become spiritually sick, I don't know. I don't judge you. First habit. What's the first habit? Study the scripture. Say it with me. Study scriptures. Look at the early church. Paul tells his disciple, until I come, give attention to the public reading of scripture in big group. Study the Bible. exhortation and teaching. Next, habit. Continually devoting themselves to fellowship. Now, what is fellowship? Fellowship is an amazing word, koinonia. The word koinonia has the idea of the ideal relationship. It is giving. It is helping each other. It's like a picture of heaven, koinonia. Now, fellowship cannot happen unless you are in a small group. What do I mean? Look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2. What did they do? These 3,000 people, guess what they did? Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. Big group. They gathered together. And I can just imagine Peter, John, preaching, teaching, big group. And breaking bread from house to house. Taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity in small group. CCF did not invent the small group. We just copied the Bible. Years ago, when we started CCF, we prayed. I prayed, Lord, we want to have a New Testament church that is very biblical. I don't want to copy other church models. And the Lord impressed upon our heart, you need to have small groups to care for each other. That came from the Bible. It is not our genius. We'll just learn that from the Bible. They met in the temple. The church gathered. But on weekdays, on other days, what did they do? The early church gathered daily in the temple and in the house. Small group. Now, there are commandments in the Bible you can never obey until you are part of a small group. That's why, to me, small group is mandatory. Let me give you an example. You have at least 47 commandments of one another. Example, encourage one another. Example, love one another. Example, serve one another. Example, be devoted to one another. Example, admonish one another. Correct one another. Example, if anyone is caught in any trespasses, any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Let me ask you, how can you do this alone? Tell me, how can you do it alone? Encourage one another. Oh, I encourage myself. I, me, myself. No. Unless you are part of a small group, you cannot obey many commandments. And because you are not obeying the commandments of God, you are not living in harmony with God's plan. You are no longer spirit-filled. To be spirit-filled is a gift of God. He fills you. But once you stop obeying Him, you are no longer spirit-filled. And that's why you lose the joy. You have no power. So this is God's provision. Example, the full text. Everybody, I want to show you an example of a verse, complete verse. Ready? Go. Let us consider. You need to think. Let us think. Let us consider. How to stimulate. The word stimulate means what? How do you provoke? How do you force? How do you do something with one another to do two things? Number one, to love and good deeds. So my job, if I'm in a small group, listen to me. The antidote for selfishness, when I join a group, I think, how can I bless these people? How can I encourage them? How can I provoke them to love and do good deeds? The antidote for selfishness is the invention of the Lord, ecclesia, the church, the big group and the small group. If you are not part of a small group, how are you going to do the following? Continue reading. Please read. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. How do you encourage one another? Excuse me. How can you encourage one another if you are not part of a small group? Let me repeat. Do not underestimate the power of consistency. You do something right, daily. It's going to transform you. If you do something wrong daily, it's going to affect you. For example, for most Christians, they neglect Bible study. One day, oh, it's okay. There's no effect. They stop going to the small group. Oh, seems to be okay. Pretty soon, you'll be shocked at what has happened to your spiritual life. When I see people, I say, what happened to you? You used to attend Bible study. It's one little compromise to the next one. I remember the story of a friend of mine. Stop attending our gathering, weekly gathering, slowly, but surely. Remember this quotation about sin? Compromises, sin will take you further than you want. It will let you stay longer than you expect. It will cost you more than you think. That's the problem of sin. A little compromise here. Stop attending a small group. Stop attending worship service. And pretty soon, the impact in your life is so dramatic, you have no idea what has happened. So, gentlemen, I don't know about you, but God has given us His people. We need one another. You need to be part of a small group. May I ask all of you who are small group leaders and part of a small group, please stand up right now. You are joining a small group, or you are a small group leader. You are part of a small group. Stand up. Stand up. Now, what's your assignment? Those of you who are standing up, you are part of a small group. Praise God. But look around you. Look at some people. They are seated down. What must you do with these people who are seated down? I will tell you what you must do. You must smile and say, how are you? Every week, listen to me. Next, you say, may I know your name? And then you tell them your name. And then you ask them, would you like to join a small group? Now, if you think they don't fit your small group because you're of your age group, of whatever it is, you feel hindi bagay, you say, can I help you join a group that is suited for you? Comprende? So that's your assignment. Now, let me tell you, this assignment is so crucial because every Sunday, I know where you sit, okay? More or less, I know. Like my friend, somewhere in this corner. You sit there. Now, what you need to do now, from now on, you look around you. Every time you see a new face, what is your job? You welcome them. So I'm already giving you permission. You own that place, okay? That's already your place. But, there are many people around you. Oh, example, look at this row. There's a lot of people there that are just seated down. So what you will do now is this, listen to me. Your job, every time you see new faces, provided new, the old faces that are already with you, don't even bother them anymore, okay? You are always together so long. But the new one, what will you say? Hello, my name is so-and-so. What is your name? Smile. And what else do you do? How can I pray for you? It will be amazing at the end of the service if you guys just say prayer meetings right wherever you are. How can I pray for you? And then you ask them the next question. Are you part of a small group? Would you like to join one? If they say, no, I don't like to join one, what do you say? No problem, but I hope you will consider. Do you understand? You cannot force people to join. Don't say, what's wrong with you? Don't say that. Okay, everybody sit down. So what's your assignment? Those of you who are not part of a small group, may I humbly ask you to consider. It is never God's design for you to be a lone ranger. It is never God's design for you to be alone. You need a family. I'd like to show you a video of a girl who got involved with a small group and how her life was dramatically changed. She is blind. How can a blind girl be part of a small group in CCF? How can that be? Do you want to watch her video? Let's watch her video.
In my 30 years of existence here in this world, I've been through so much pain. I've suffered setbacks and terrible losses. I've tasted many times of bitter moments, but most of which produced the best in me. My heart was in tears each time I remember, and as pain and sadness echo through. But I know that the Lord has a wonderful purpose and plan for my life. I was born prematurely at 6.5 months, weighing only 2.8 pounds. I am a totally blind. My parents was too young then when I was born. They were only 17 years old. They left me under the care of my maternal grandparents, and they already have their own family. I had a best friend when I was in elementary, and I kept on asking myself, why does she have loving parents while I don't? Why did my parents leave me and each has their own family? Was just because I'm blind? I never chose to be born this way in this world, but because of that recurring memories in my young heart and mind, I even attempted to end my life. But because the Lord have different ways and plans for me, I'm just here in front of you testifying His goodness and testifying His unfailing love and amazing grace. When I reached college, I took up Bachelor of Science in Psychology at the Trinity University of Asia. And after I finished my four-year course in that university, I am now working as a rehabilitation staff of Resources for the Blind Incorporated. My office mates once invited me to Night to Shine 2016. Through Night to Shine, I will just experience what it feels like to have a dinner. Someone will accompany me. But I never expected that it will pave the way for me to have an extended family here in Manila. It's not easy for me to be far from home, though my family is not perfect. So my buddy told me that being buddies does not end in every Night to Shine. It just keeps going. So indeed, Night to Shine was God's instrument for me to have a D group and an extended family here, wherein I can share my experiences and wherein I can hear their testimonies as well. And really, they're a blessing to me, a sister, a friend, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be in that D group. I know that there are still lots of challenges along my way, but I'm not afraid, and I will never be afraid because I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. In Jeremiah 29:11, that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I bring back to the Lord all the highest praise, honor, and glory."
Praise God. I heard her testimony last night. I was here in the Saturday night service. And I was just thinking, here was this blind girl without a spiritual family. She will never meet the Lord. And now look at her. She memorizes the Bible. She has no eyes, but she's able to read the Bible. Something happened. What about you? Do you have the Lord? And that's why if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you will not hunger for the things of God. All of us have passion. You are devoted to something. Some of you are devoted to your career. Nothing wrong. You are devoted to your family. But are you really devoted to the Lord? You will not be devoted to the Lord if you have not met the Lord. You see, the early believers, 3,000 of them, in one day, they met the Lord, they got baptized, and they began studying the Bible, And they began meeting every day, house to house, in small groups. Friends, you got to practice certain habits. Only the Holy Spirit can help you. They were continually devoting themselves, not just to the apostles' teaching, not just to fellowship, but to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Notice, it's worship. The breaking of bread. What is the breaking of bread? When you see the article, the breaking of bread, it is not just eating. It is in particular the Lord's Supper. Now, do you remember the Lord's Supper when Jesus instituted this practice? When he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's worship. It's all about Jesus. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." You see, in CCF, we do this once a month in big groups. In small groups, it's up to you. For some people, they do it once a month. For some small groups, they forget to do it. It doesn't matter. If you want to do it every week, no problem. But the Bible tells us it's worship. So what did they do? This is what they did. Notice, they met and they converted their house to a house of worship. They ate, they met from house to house. Notice what they did from house to house. What did they do? They continued the breaking of the bread and to prayer. So, what I'm learning is this. If Christ becomes central in your life, you need to practice certain discipline. First, Scripture. Study the Bible to know about Jesus. And then you are part of a small group for encouragement because you need help. You are never strong enough to be alone. Some of you who are not part of a small group, you may think they don't need you. Or you may think you don't need them. But can I tell you something? You may not need others, but others need you. So sometimes, if you ask me, the antidote for selfishness, the antidote for just living for yourself, is to join a small group. In a small group, I get to hear the problems of others. I get to pray for them. I get to help them. And that's why in CCF, we like all of you to be part of a small group. To serve, to love, to care, to give in a small group, to help people. Prayer. How can I pray for you if I do not know your problem? A small group will help you. And that's why we believe in prayer. Look at what happened. The early church, while Peter was kept in the prison, prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God, by the ecclesia of God. Ecclesia, church, assembly. It's all people. But they were praying fervently. And because they prayed fervently, you will notice characteristics of spirit-filled church. The presence of God is real. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Question. Do we still have signs and wonders today? What's the purpose of signs and wonders? To manifest the presence of God. For example, in the early church, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. You have to understand, the first apostles needed authentication. How do we know you were sent forth by God to tell us about Jesus? How will we know? You need signs and wonders to prove that they were apostles. Today, my question to you is this. Are there still signs and wonders? What's your answer? Louder. Of course. However, you cannot command signs and wonders at your will. It depends on God. It depends on the situation. I hear a lot of things that's happening in CCF. For example, during our last prayer and fasting, there was a couple who came to my son. They asked for prayer. And my son said, what's the problem? Our child is in the hospital. He needed an operation. There is a hole in his lungs. Okay? So can you pray? So the parents, they prayed. A few days later, they got a text. My son got a text back. The doctor could not believe it because the hole is gone. And they x-rayed my child three times. So my son said, your son will die of x-ray radiation and not whatever it is. You know why? For a doctor, it's impossible. But can I tell you something? With men, it can be impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? So you need to have a prayer group. People don't realize, I have prayer partners. Before coming here, I texted them. We have a member who was sick. We visit. In other words, guys, if you are not part of a small group, you are forfeiting the design of God. God never intended you to be alone. And yet, today, I have to humbly appeal to the millennials and to young people today. We are so fond of being independent. You don't like to be accountable to anybody. That's not God's design. God wants you to be accountable to a group of brothers and sisters. Why? Because I have blind spots. There are certain things in my life I cannot see. I need your prayer. I need your love. Understand? My daughter is a recipient of your love through a small group. You want to hear her testimony? She gave it this morning, but because of the baby, she requested if we can use the video. Are you ready to hear her testimony about small group? Let's hear her testimony.
You know, last December, and I think my husband shared this as well as my dad, that I'd given birth to our sixth child. And everything was normal at the beginning and easy. But a few days after I gave birth, I experienced excruciating pain, and I didn't know what was wrong. About a month later, Christmas Eve, we found out I had a 13 cm cyst in my uterus, and it had to be removed immediately. So I was operated on December 26, and it was supposed to be an easy surgery, maybe 2 to 3 hours, but then it became very complicated. It extended to 8 hours, and they had to remove my ovaries, my uterus, my cervix, my appendix, and part of my intestines had to be cut, removed and reconnected. And then they had to take out the cyst, which had 1.7 liters of pus and blood. And so, you know, it's really God's grace that I survived that surgery. But afterwards, I really struggled in my faith. I knew that, I knew that God is good, that He loves me. But a part of me was like, why did it have to be like this, you know? And of course, I knew He still had a plan for me. But I did struggle. I struggled to understand how to define and understand God's love. I praise God that my husband was there for me. He was very supportive. Of course, I really read God's word for encouragement. But it was very interesting because when I went through surgery, my entire family was in the U.S. We were all supposed to go on this vacation together. And God so designed it that they were away. And normally they would be my spiritual support apart from Edric. And so it was interesting that they were gone. I think God really intended it because what happened was He used our D group to really demonstrate to us that He was present and that He really loved us. One of the things that I really struggled with as a mom was I really wanted to breastfeed my baby, but the doctor said, you will not be able to breastfeed her for several weeks because of the surgery, all the antibiotics you are on. And so I was like, Lord, I'm a breastfeeding advocate. How do I make sure that my baby gets breast milk? And my D group, one of them was still breastfeeding, and she said, I will give you milk. I will donate my milk. And other people who were not breastfeeding, they found suppliers for me. So my baby became really fat. She looks like a Shopao. You know, God is amazing. And normally my milk is like skim milk, but this milk that was donated is like full cream. So my baby became really healthy. It really is amazing. And then I remember the night that we were discharged, it was it was New Year's Eve, and we were thinking, how are we going to bring all our stuff home from the hospital because our driver was not available? And one of our D group, they came and they said, you know, we will bring your things home for you so that when you check out, it'll be very easy. So it was just little things like this. And then that same night, we were going to go home and there was nobody to cook in the house. And I was like, Lord, I can't cook in the state I'm in. I'm too weak and not well. And one of the D group members of my mom's D group, she sent over a feast, like all this Chinese food for us to eat. So when we got home, it was our first meal together as a family since I'd been hospitalized. And there was so much food. And it was just the timing of it. God used that D group member to show us that he was really thinking about us. And then so many women offered to give me lapu-lapu soup. If my dad had been here, he would have eaten it. But just they said, you know, to help you heal. It was so special. And then some of them, they came over to my house and they said, we're going to cook for you so that we can store all this food that you'll have in your freezer so that every time you need to eat, you can just, you know, defrost it. Because I was having digestive problems. So everything I ate, it would just come out. And I was really losing a lot of weight. So they helped me by just coming over to cook for me. And then some people from my dad's D group also, they came over to visit us in the hospital and just to be with us, to pray with us. And one of them from his extended D group family gave us a significant amount of money. And it was such a surprise and we were so embarrassed to accept it. But it was really perfect timing also because the expenses did pile up. I had so many doctors that we had to pay for. So these were some of the ways that God showed us through the D group family that he was mindful of us. And when I was struggling with, Lord, you know, I know you love me, but it hurts. It hurts to know that as a father, you allowed this to happen. But he showed us, you know, I'm still thinking of you. And through my other children, the D group family, you're going to experience my love. And Edric and I was sharing this with my family. I said, you know, we've always been more on the ministering side of things, where we're the ones giving to people and serving people. I think this was one of the first times in a very long time that I really felt like what it really meant to be part of a greater spiritual family in Christ and to have a spiritual family that looks out for you and cares for you. And that's really God's design for all of us, that we would be connected to a small group where we experience what it means to be part of his family, because that's how we can really love each other. By God's grace, I'm going on my 7th week already post-operation. The doctor has allowed me to be out. So praise God. I'm much stronger now, and I can breastfeed my baby also. So he continues to heal me every day, and I want to thank you all for many of you were praying for our family, and I really felt God's love also through those prayers. So I praise God, and I pray that we all experience what it means to be part of God's family by also being connected to a smaller group where we can grow in our love for God and for one another. To God be the glory.
Praise God. Do you now see the genius of God, how he designed the church? Big group. A healthy church will have to keep growing. There's no such thing as we don't want to grow anymore. If you are a healthy church, a spirit-filled church, you will attract people. You will grow. But as you grow bigger, you need to grow smaller. And that's why we have small groups. So in behalf of our family, I really want to thank you. Because we were out. Our whole family were out of this country. And I was thinking, who will take care of my daughter? And I praise God, because we have you guys, the small group, the family. You rallied together. Can you imagine Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? Where will you find mother's milk in the grocery? Oh, I want to buy milk for the baby. Anong klase ng milk? Anong brand? Mommy's milk. Where will you find that? Only in God's family. Is God amazing? So please, understand God's design. That's where the word generosity comes from. Because look at what the Bible tells us. All those who had believed, notice, all those who had believed, that's the church, ecclesia. All those who had believed were together. They gathered together. They love each other. And all things in common. They began selling their property, possessions, or sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Now, you may think, this is communism. No, no, no. The selling and giving is voluntary. It is never by force. Example, two chapters later in Acts chapter 5, you have Ananias. Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? You see, in the early church, people gave voluntarily. Ananias pretended to be generous. He sold. But he pretended. And the Bible tells us the sin is not because he did not sell. Or what? This is the sin. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? You own the property. You don't have to sell it. And after it was sold, was it not under your control? You don't have to donate. Understand? Like in CCF, look, our offering boxes are there. We don't even pass it around because we believe in generosity. If God has touched your heart, you realize everything belongs to Him. And you guys will give on your own. It is never compelled. The church never compelled people to give. It's out of their free will. And then, why is it? And then Peter said, why is it that you conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And when he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. You see, God disciplined the early church for lying. I wonder what will happen if God will do that today in CCF. How many will be around alive? Why are you laughing? You know why? Praise God. Is he merciful to us? Yes. How many of you lied this week? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. You know, giving is voluntarily. I testified according to their ability, and beyond their ability, they gave. Generosity is the work of God's Spirit, God's grace. You cannot force people to be generous. The Bible tells us, each one must do as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. So one of the reasons why God has blessed CCF is because of many of you. You have practiced the discipline of generosity. And the Bible tells us the balance of not abusing people's generosity is this verse. When we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, he is not to eat. God's economy, small group, we are to help each other. But God is very clear. People are lazy. People who don't want to work don't even help him. You know why? Anybody can work, yes or no? Don't choose your work. If you're jobless, look for any work, no matter how menial, because God does not want us to be lazy. At the same time, God tells those who have money, you help those who are in need. Praise God. That's the amazing genius of God. And the Bible tells us, day by day, they are meeting in the temple, meeting from house to house. What were they doing? They were taking their meals together with gladness, my friend. There is joy. CCF is famous for eating. I know all of you in small group, do you eat? I tell you, we are number one in eating. What do you discuss when you're eating together? I hope it's not about shopping here, shopping there. I hope you talk about Jesus. Amen? You convert your house into a place of worship, Lord's Supper. You pray. A small group is to encourage one another. My friend, are you encouraging one another today? I pray you will encourage each other. All right? Be part of a small group. That's the genius of the early church. Full of joy. Now, how can you be happy? Everybody read this. The disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a byproduct. Joy, Holy Spirit. Let's read this together. The Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally happy. You owe it to the world. You know why? You have every reason to be happy. A person who is happy is not happy because everything is right. No. He is happy because his attitude towards everything in his life is right. So are you happy today? You need to practice joy. Listen to me. When I come to your house and I talk to your children, to your helpers, to whoever, I'm going to ask them, is this family predictably happy? Are you predictably happy? By the grace of God, if you come to our house, you can ask our helper, you ask our children, our family is predictably happy. Why? It's the joy of the Lord. Be thankful, be prayerful. Whatever problems you may have, you surrender that to the Lord. And sometimes the best answer to your prayer is an answered prayer. What do I mean? Let me tell you what I mean. The Bible tells us they were praising God no matter what, having favor with all the people. Their lives were so attractive that the unbelievers, people who are seekers, were so attracted to these Christians, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Notice, those who are being saved. Assumption. Once upon a time, they were not saved. They were lost. But God is adding. Why? Praising God and having favor with all the people. Let me ask you a question. Are you, your family, your office, the way you work, do you attract people to Jesus? Now, what do I mean? Unanswered prayers can be the best. As I close, one of our pastors was put in jail a few weeks ago. He was flying out to attend our IDC. But while he was in the airport, they detained him in the Middle East country. Scary to be locked up in jail. Of course, we were praying that he will get out and he will be able to make it on time. But can I tell you something? Because he was a spirit-filled Christian, a spirit-filled disciple. What did he do in jail? He started a D group. Seriously, he got a group. And then he's not allowed to witness, to evangelize. So you know what he did? He talked to 19 people, mostly Muslims. He talked to them. How? How can I pray for you? You see that approach, pray, care, share. How can I pray for you? You see, the early church were witnessing. And you can witness all over the place. This is not the church. This is the place where the church gathers. But the church is all over. Offices, wherever you are, in prison. The guy was in prison. Can you imagine? He told me, Peter, while I was in prison, I read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So I've done my assignment. I have plenty of time. He read the Bible. But this is the most amazing thing. There was a Filipino who converted to the Muslim religion and told him, you pray to Allah and your sentence will be cut in half. My friend said, no. No. My God, Jesus Christ, is very powerful. While he was talking, he heard his name called. So he went. You know what the police officer said? The jail warden officer? Your case is dismissed. You can now get out of this jail. Wow, my goodness. People don't realize all of us were praying for him, the power of prayer. And so he went back to his friend and told his friend, you see what I told you? Jesus is more powerful. I'm leaving. Goodbye. Is God amazing? Praise God. My friend, are you a spirit-filled follower of Jesus? If you want CCF to be healthy, we need to practice those 7 amazing habits. Yes or no? What are those habits? Number one, study God's word. Number two, be part of a small group. Worship privately, publicly. People ask me, do I need to come to CCF? Can I not just have, stream, you know, live stream. Have you heard this word, live stream? You're asking the wrong question. I will tell those people who are live streaming, why not come? If you love Jesus, you will come. If you love Jesus, you want to be part of a big family. However, I know we have many people who really cannot find a fellowship like this, okay? Maybe they're in countries that are forbidden. Whatever it is, perhaps you are sick, it's okay. But my whole point is this. You begin to practice this, okay? Prayer, generosity. What else? Practice joyfulness and practice witnessing. And I guarantee you, God will use you to be a blessing to others. You want to bless others? Yes or no?
Yes.
Allow Christ. But there's no escape from these principles. Don't compromise. Let's bow our heads and pray. If God has spoken to you that you need to be part of a small group, as you leave this place, there's a place outside you can register. Secondly, if you are convicted today that perhaps you don't know Jesus, that's why you don't have hunger for God's word. You don't have a hunger for God. You don't care about Him. He's not central. And you want to be changed. You want me to pray for you. Will you raise your hands? Anybody else? Praise God. You don't have hunger for God. You want me to pray for you. Raise your hands higher. Higher. You know why? I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I want to pray for this group of men and women who have raised their hands. They don't have hunger for you. Perhaps they don't know you. I pray for them right now that you will make yourself very real in their lives. Allow them to repent of selfishness, repent of self-sufficiency, repent for desiring independence, and give them a humble heart to surrender to you. And I pray for those who are not yet part of a small group, that through today's word, you will teach us not to be selfish, but to be a blessing to others by joining a small group, not just to receive, but to give. Speak to all of us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.